Helen?
Yes. In these dear, beautiful big trees. I've spread the tablecloth on the grass.
I'm really looking forward to my tea, Helen. What have we got?
Well, now, those cottage cheese sandwiches or sardine and eggs.
Oh, no, I don't like those. I'll have my usual cucumber.
Oh, dear.
What is it?
Clive, I've forgotten to do any cucumber sandwiches.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I know how much you love them.
But, Helen, I must have them. You know, I can't exist without a cucumber sandwich.
Now, Clive, get hold of yourself.
Helen, I must have a cucumber sandwich. Do you hear me?
Darling, you must fight it.
It's no good, I tell you. I must have a cucumber sandwich.
Well, that is an excerpt from Desire Under the Elm. Now that in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are the Right Honourable Mervyn Fish, the Right Charlie Percy Pilbeam, the Right Charlie's Aunt, the Latin American music of Edmundo McTavish, Miss Margot Magnet.
She's madly attractive.
To continue, Dame Winifred Sitwell, Bob Lighthouse and Dennis Goodwin, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Good evening and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that has become a household word. We're not allowed to mention which part of the house. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I was walking down Baker Street when I ran into an old friend of mine who's a Harley Street specialist. He crossed the road, came up to me and said,
"Hello, Horn, you're looking very well indeed."
"Thank you."
"That'll be 6 guineas.
On Friday, I watched a demonstration of the very latest dictating machine. Well, it's certainly a wonderful thing, but I'm not interested. It just won't stay on my knee the way my secretary does. How was Saturday? Well, on Saturday, I did something I haven't done for years. I went to have another look round the Tower of London. And this time, I decided to go on a conducted tour.
Everyone over here for the Arthur Figley tour of the tower.
Well, Arthur Figley.
Yes.
Arthur Figley. So you're a beef eater.
No, I'm a vegetarian myself. All
I might have expected that from you.
Yes.
Personally, I fail to see the point.
Oh, you do. You're right. Oh! That you do now.
I say, be careful with that pike staff.
Right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll just follow me. First of all, let me tell you, the Tower of London was a very great British stronghold.
You mean like Swiss Cottage?
I'm pretending I didn't hear that. Now, note the carefully preserved Norman architecture, which has, of course, been it's been done up.
Yes, now, wasn't it carried out by the famous architect Sir Christopher Wren?
That is correct, Mr. Orne. And over there are the very steps down which Sir Christopher himself come a pearler.
Oh, I say, what bad luck.
That's not what he said. No, it was a very sore point with him, and he hated anything being said about it, thus giving rise to the immoral saying, "Hush, hush, whisper who dares, Christopher Wren has fallen downstairs." Yes.
Say, Elmer, isn't this fascinating? This Tower of London is the cutest place.
Yeah, but it's not as big as the Empire State Building.
May I remind you, sir and madam, that we in this country do not judge things by their size. Culture and tradition are the keynote of our life. The true Englishman is the quintessence of charm and good manners. Do you agree?
Well, sure, yeah.
Shut your cake hole. Now, over here,
you'll note the two white towers.
Oh, yes.
You, sir, would you care to pick one of the white towers?
Oh, yes, certainly. Now, let's see, that one.
Ah, good. You picked the one that washed down in carbolic. Very good. Now, over here, please.
Oh, I say, that's the famous Traitor's Gate through which the notorious prisoners were admitted to the tower.
No, all. Kind of remember I'm the guide.
All right, Brown Owl, let's get on with it. Figley. Figley, there's no need to be so rude.
Over there it is. I've got my reputation to keep up. The most objectionable man in the Tower of London.
Oh, I see. You're a sort of abominable yeoman.
Excuse me, but is it true that Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard were imprisoned here?
That's so, madam. Yes, then of course they were ripped off to the execution block. And they suffered the same fate as all his other wives.
Yes, he was a bit of a devil, that Henry VIII, all the chopping and changing.
Naturally, there were many other famous prisoners here. King David, King James, Dave King.
Hey. Just a minute, Pickley. Dave King wasn't a prisoner here.
Well, he should have been then. It's well known that many prisoners in the tower were subjected to torture. And ladies and gentlemen, in there, one can see many of the instruments of torture.
Oh, I say, none of them are in use today, are they?
Only one, madam.
What's that?
Television.
Oh, look, the famous ravens. Aren't they lovely birds?
Yes, everyone who visits the tower does their nut about them. If you ask me, they're raving mad.
Yes, we didn't ask you.
However, if you'll just follow me through this arch, in here I can show you a much more interesting bird.
And I might have known it's Janet Waters. And what on earth are you doing here, Janet?
Well, Ken, it was Mr. Figley's idea. He said...
Yes,
that
never mind,
I
dear.
Said...
Thank you, dear. Yes, never mind.
Well, now, I see the yeomanry band are all here, too. So Mr. Fenelay will raise his pipe. Sing, Janet. Very nice, Janet. And now, Figley, perhaps you'll tell us something about the historical associations of this famous place.
Certainly, Mr. Hall. Well, the Tower of London saw many changes during the various reigns. Charles II, for instance, added one or two bits to the place.
Yes, including Nell Gwynn.
Yes. And over here, ladies and gentlemen, on this very spot is where Charles uttered those well-known words.
Hello, Rodney.
Figley, I understand that the tower has early Roman associations.
Yes, that is what the history books tell us. Why did you ask, Mr. Orr?
Oh, several reasons. Firstly, I'm deeply interested.
Yes.
Secondly, it's an accurate historical fact.
Yes.
And thirdly...
Yes.
We want to get in a sketch about Rome.
Oh, dead crap.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
A.D. 66, an era of wild and savage abandon. Rome, a city of treachery and lechery. Rome, a seething, sordid city of lust. Rome...
I'll get on with it. Hang me out like that. Go on, get on with it. You...
Do you mind belting up? Rome, in grip of the Emperor Nero.
You're telling me.
That was his wife, the Empress Poppaea, the lady who likes spinach. Then there was the Emperor himself.
I am the mighty Nero, resplendent in toga and thin legs.
Yes. He was the nobliest Roman of them all. Our story starts in one of the Roman slave markets.
Grown-uppers! Grown-uppers! You want the best slaves? We've got them! Specially selected British slaves! The pick of the pick! We know all the best angles! Get your lovely slaves out!
I say, slave merchant, I am the mighty Emperor Nero.
Yes, and I'm the Queen of Sheba, now off it.
You insolent wretch, I'll have your gall divided into three parts.
He's the Emperor Nero. Listen.
Oh, mighty Nero, forgive me. I should have known better. Really, I should. All praise to the Emperor Nero.
And all praise to John Jezzard, too. I desire your two best quality slaves to my beautiful Poppaea.
Yes, there's nothing I like better than stoving all day over a hot slave.
Then, my lady, I have two lads here who have received the good slave-keeping seal of merit. Forward, Sextus and Cotticus.
Hail to thee, O fair Poppaea.
Hi, Popsy. I'm Sextus, but you can call me Sexy.
And I'm Cloticus, and let's leave it at that.
What a puny pair. Are you sure they're not export rejects?
Oh, Nero, I think they are rather cutest, especially this one. See how he has painted himself in blue wool.
Blue wool, nothing. I'm freezing.
Then wrap up.
Please, Nero, buy them for me.
Very well, then. How much?
6 pieces of the appropriate Roman currency, which we haven't had time to look up.
What? I'll give thou 3 pieces of the appropriate Roman currency, which we haven't had time to look up. And not a penny more.
Come, Sextus and Cloticus, let us get on with the Ploticus.
The Empress Poppaea was well pleased with her new slaves. Cloticus looked after her personal accoutrements.
I burnished her bangles, brightened her beads, and brushed up her boo-boos.
And as for Sextus, he cared for the animals.
Yeah, I was the Lady Poppaea's gamekeeper.
But all was not well in Rome.
Seated one day at an orgy. I was weary and ill at ease. Bad news was brought to the palace.
Oh, Emperor Nero!
Ah, 'tis the soothsayer. Well, what sayest thou?
Sooth!
Dost thou wish to incur the wrath of thy emperor? Wouldst thou relish the thought of being tied to a chariot and dragged round the arena? Dost thou wish to be thrown to the lions? Wouldst thou care for 1,000 lashes from the whip of knives?
No.
Then leave the funny lines to me. Now what sayest thou?
Oh, mighty emperor, Rome is seething with discontent. The people are working out a careful plot.
More than we can say for our scriptwriter.
Take heed, Nero. There are murmurings behind the scenes at the Colosseum.
And you should hear what they're saying at the Palladium.
Please, Nero, heed my warning.
Very well, soothsayer.
Good, then I am happy. As long as Nero heeds me, I know where I must be.
Ah!
Let the orgy continue. Bring me another jug of that Latin wine. Yes, that's it. The hic, hic, hoc. Come, let us all get as tight as Andronicus.
Clodicus, where art thou? Clodicus! Oh, there thou art.
Don't interrupt us. I'm busy.
Hasn't thou finished writing that letter yet?
Who knows? Who knows? There.
What hast thou said?
The editor, Daily Centurion. Dear sir, as two British slaves, we must protest at the levy imposed on our special blue paint. When are you going to do something about the woad tax? Signed, Sextus and Clusters.
Well, Danicus, you should catch the beer clock post.
Sextus! Clusters, come here! How wouldst thou like to regain thy freedom?
Oh, you may no longer be slaves. Oh, what Blissicus!
But surely, oh, Papia, to do that, must we not become gladiolas?
You mean gladiators. Gladiolas are pretty little flowers. So I don't know, though.
Please, not that. Oh, do not make me face the lion. Oh, I think of huge yellow teeth, savage and vicious. Oh, they worry me.
Well, you can always take them out.
Wait. There is another way. You can help in my plan to overthrow the Emperor Nero.
I always thought you and he was...
No, we are just good friends. Romans and countrymen.
What is the plan?
Destroy the city. Set fire to Rome.
We can't do that.
We wouldn't be any good at it.
Why not?
Well, you need a flair for that sort of thing.
Why, I've a suggestion. It might be mucking about with history, but it's a much better idea. Leave it to us, for fear. Well, almighty Empress, the deed is done.
But Rome is still standing. I am perplexed.
Do not worry, Papia, though our plan has succeeded. See, here comes Nero, now no longer mighty.
Look at him, a man deep.
I do not understand. Nero, what has happened?
Some rotten devil set fire to my fiddle. So much for early Rome, and now here are four slaves to music. Three men and one girl, known affectionately to us as the Hornets.
She would tell him when he'd fool around and then they'd kiss again and then he'd roll,
then he'd roll, roll, roll,
a little further he would roll.
Then he'd drop both his oars, take a few more encores,
and around by the reeds he'd do more daring deeds,
till a boatman with mirth yelled,
"You bet your bumps worth,"
and then he'd roll, roll, roll.
Johnny Josie had a cute little boat.
Oh, what a boat.
And all the girlies he would take for a float.
For a float. He had girlies on the shore.
Sweet little peaches by the score.
But Master Johnny was the wiser, you know.
His steady girl was Flo.
And every Sunday afternoon,
she'd jump in his boat and they would spoon.
And then he'd roll, roll, roll. Way up the river he would roll, roll, roll.
A hug he'd give her, then he'd kiss her now and then. She would tell him when he'd fool around and then they'd kiss again. And then he'd roll, roll, roll. A little further he would roll. As a change from all this, he would give her a kiss. Then he'd roll, roll, roll.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on crime. Is burglary a paying business?
And if so, how do you get in on the ground floor? Well, now, first of all, let's talk to somebody who has recently fallen foul of the law. Is that right, sir?
Yeah, that is so, yeah. I was absolutely furious because, of course, it was a case of false arrest.
Well, what happened?
Well, you see, I was strolling nonchalantly across Oxford Circus when a police constable touched me on the shoulder and said, I arrest you for assault. Well, of course, I was thunderstruck. He saw he'd made a mistake and said sorry, but it wasn't sufficient for me.
No?
No, certainly not. I looked the constable straight in the face and I said, you stand there, I said, you have the audacity to suggest that a respectable citizen such as myself, I said, would stoop to such a thing as assault, I said. I said, it's scandalous. You should be sued for wrongful arrest, I said. I've never experienced such a monstrous accusation.
I bet that shook him a bit.
Oh, yes. It was certainly one in the eye for him.
Yeah, it was for me, too. Well, of course, prevention is better than cure. And we're privileged to meet now someone who does just that. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Thank you for asking me.
Not at all. Now, sir.
Now, I'm always pleased to do that.
Well, pleased to have you. Very pleased indeed.
Thank you.
Would you like to tell us about your job?
A pleasure, sir. Yes, I am a night watchman for a very beautiful and rich young lady.
And tell me, how long have you had the job? How long have you had the job?
I started last Friday.
Now, what exactly does the work entail?
Well, sir, you see, I sleep in the summer house, and if any burglars should break into the house, I'm supposed to run up there and protect her.
I see. That's a very creditable job.
Oh, yes.
But surely it's rather dangerous. I mean, if the burglars found you in the summer house, well, they might shoot you.
If they found me in the summer house, I deserve to be shot.
Many influences join force in the constant fight against crime. Let us first pay tribute to the police. For whatever one might say, especially when your car's been towed away, the police are not often outwitted. You can always be sure that in the end, they'll get their men.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, PC Charles. I know I may have mentioned this before, but should a blue suit you?
Yeah, thank you, Laura. I must say, you're a credit to your police station. What a smart uniform.
Yes, well, we of Cattle Row have to keep up our appearances. And look, I've had a fur lining sewn into this one.
Oh, what a jolly idea. Mm. Such a boon on cold winter nights when you're standing in doorways.
Oh, don't remind me. You know, I was standing in the doorway the other night, having a crafty smoke, and guess what happened?
What?
A courting couple shot a torch on me.
How embarrassing for you.
I know.
Must have been.
How?
Look, over there. That chap coming out of those offices. It's him.
You're right, Roderick. He's been eluding us for weeks.
Well, we'll get him this time. Come on, creep up behind him. Go carefully. I'm sure he knows we're after him.
Right. You stay behind and take cover.
Yes.
All right. I'll tackle him from the front.
Right, good luck.
There he goes.
I say that.
Who, me?
Yes.
Would you like to buy a ticket for the police ball?
Whenever we read those Sunday press reports of vice and crime in the West End of London, we are given pictures of evil, smoke-filled cellars in Soho. Now, is this accurate? Are there really dens of vice in the West End? we sent Cecil Snaith to investigate.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking to you now from a charming little basement club in Soho called the Thieves' Kitchen. Supposedly, this is the famous haunt of notorious criminals and desperados, but I haven't seen much evidence as yet. One might say, Soho far, Soho good. In this somewhat sleazy atmosphere, I have met the proprietor of the club, a man known to his intimates as Slasher Mahoney. But I must say he seems a pleasant enough character. True, one of the many young hostesses here did offer me a cigarette a few moments ago, which I refused. Never let it be said that Cecil Snaith is a bit of a dope. I'm sorry, I've done that. I can see a small group of people in earnest conversation at a table over there, and they seem to be inspecting various sorts of jewelry. I'll just take the microphone over to them and see if I can get a...
All right, everyone!
This is a peace raid. Okay, you over there, drop that gun. And there is not a gun, it's a hand mic. You don't understand.
All right,
I'm peace. Right. And this is 1789624 Snaith, Cecil, returning you to the studio.
Finally, let us consider the future of crime. Can it be stamped out? Well, most of the experts agree that fundamentally it springs from background and environment. Home life, they say, has much to do with it. Well, it is true, of course, that its influence can start in the home.
Felicity! Felicity! Where's my supper?
The potatoes aren't quite ready.
Our time, every night it's the same. My food is never ready when I come home.
Oh, look, darling. Is it all right?
I'm bent up with it, you silly old
packer.
Oh, I should have to drive a man.
Put down that supper.
I'll put it down all right.
All over the wallpaper. Now, simmer down, my darling. Supper won't be long. Go into the lounge and put your slippers on.
I don't want to put me slippers on, you dopey attic.
Oh, now, my darling, go along like a good boy.
Yes.
Sit down, please. Sit down nicely and watch television.
I'm not going to watch. It's a bad influence.
But why, Ambrose?
There's too much violence on television these days.
I don't know.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be engine drivers, do they have to be trained? Also, in next week's program, Mr. Paul Fenelay will be giving us a talk entitled How I Conduct Myself in Public. We shall be having the well-known Indian doctor Ram Sinjit Napoor, who will be doing an impersonation of Peter Sellers. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. If a watchmaker went broke, would he be wound up? Good night. You might have been listening to Water Club.